Welcome to the Outdoor Panel Podcast, where we talk about chasing critters, catching fish, of course, hunting and fishing stories, and a lot of BSing.
It's like a beast. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a nice eye.
Yeah. That was a fast one. Holy cow.
So tonight we're doing something a little bit different. Something that's not talked about too much in the outdoor industry is the mental health benefits that come along with being outdoors. So we're going to take a deep dive into that because I know each one of us uses the outdoors in some sort of way to benefit our mental health. I'm pretty passionate about it because just a lot of people I work with in my job suffer from mental health type stuff. And back a while ago, I was not in a good mental frame. I think some members of the outdoor panel here have experienced the same thing. So I figure it'd be an interesting topic to get into tonight. I think a good question to start off because I was just thinking, so why do we hunt? Why do we hunt? It's a good starting question to dive into to like the mental health side of things. So Rob, why do you hunt?
Why do I hunt? I do one thing. I deer hunt. And, you know, I if it wasn't for deer hunting, I would probably have a hole in my head and be 6 feet deep a long, long time ago. It's my life. It's a part of me. And I love chasing it, man. I love it. And I'll chase them some bitches in a wheelchair, man, if I have to. And, you know, and it really helps me because I have very severe depression problems up and down all year long. Eric knows that. I have PTSD really bad and anxiety disorder. I don't take medication. I try to deal with it myself and in my own ways because I took medication for all that stuff for several years, and it really just numbed me, and I had zero feelings for anything. You know what I mean? It makes you almost like a zombie, and if that makes sense. In your mind, like you just did, I didn't give a shit about it. Or excuse me, didn't care about anything. Something happened. Nah, I don't care. Whatever. You know, somebody died. Nah, see you. Sucks to be you. You know, that's not what I wanted to be. And I want to cry. I want to laugh. I want to be happy. I want to be sad. I want to be live life. It's life, man. It's just human nature. Deer hunting just in the last 10 years has really, well, yeah, 10 years. I had a major breakdown in 2013 when I had I got pretty bad hurt at the jail. And it was just a mess. And that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And then, that's when I started a lot of the medication, and I was abused as a kid and all that in certain ways and blah, blah, blah. But that really pushed me over the edge. And that's why I started my deer hunt channel, my social media stuff, like right around 15, 16. I think I started all that. I was searching, like I almost felt like I lost who I was. And it took me until right around, you know what, I want to wear almost right before I moved to Delaware, 2016, 2017, I started all my social media stuff about deer hunting because it kept me busy. Still keeps me busy. It keeps me going. It keeps me motivated. It's just always something gets in the way, though, for hunting season. That's for me. I don't know what it is, but like, it always does. But, you know, we were having a conversation earlier about my daughter. My kids are very, very athletic and active. They all play sports on three sport kids. They play three different sports, and that takes a ton of my time up. So I hate this to miss that because I miss a lot of hunting time because of that, and I don't want to miss it. You know what I mean? Because that is gone. So that's really why I missed a lot of hunting the last 3 years. But I tell you, if it wasn't for hunting, I would have ate a bullet a long time ago, man. It's ran through my mind a ton of times to look, it's time. I'm done. I want to move on to the next life. I'll be the first to admit it. But, you know, I always catch myself and I say, you know, I look at my kids, my family, and, you know, talk myself out of it, you know? So,
no.
Deer hunting is a big part of it. It has literally saved my life, you know what I mean? Up in here.
Yeah.
It just gives me that something to do and something to focus on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's part of the reason that I was got into your channel because you talking about the mental health benefits of hunting, and you've told your story throughout some of your videos, which I've always appreciated, like how authentic you are and how it helps you that way. So yeah, thanks Rob, appreciate you sharing. We sound like what's that, Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that. We're doing a little round table today.
Yeah.
All right. So, Tonson, what do you, why do you hunt? Like, how does it help you with your mentals?
Well, I mean, I've hunted for a long time in my life, but, I had taken a break and, before I was like mainly just like a goose and duck hunter. And then, about 6 years ago, my brother passed away. And, it was tough, you know, and hunting brought it, like, I don't know, it gave me some sort of a connection to my brother because he was huge outdoorsman. He was a semi-professional fisherman, and if he could hunt it, he was gonna try to chase it. And he had just kind of started getting into a lot of different kinds of hunting. I mean, he started out duck and goose hunting with me. And then he had branched out. He'd go squirrel hunting. And then I remember the first deer he brought home. I brought it in the back of his pickup truck. He just stopped by because his kids were over at my parents' house, and I was living there at the time. And I thought that was really cool, but I didn't think I could ever kill a deer. And then he passed away, and I had kind of talked to his buddy a couple times about taking me out to where they used to hunt and maybe try some deer hunting, because he only ever gun hunted. I know he was going to get into bow hunting. He had planned on buying a bow, and then he had died. But eventually his buddy took me out to hunt out of one of the stands that my brother used to hunt in. And that morning, you know, we got out there and I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to pull the trigger on a deer, and had a couple deer come in, and one got to 30 yards, and he told me if I was ready to shoot, I could go ahead. And the adrenaline rush that gave me watching that deer walk in and like all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that's how I got back into it. And now it's, you know, it's part of my life, like really big. I definitely sitting out in a tree stand all by myself with my thoughts. I mean, it makes me feel a big connection with him still, and all the memories I have of, you know, fishing and hunting and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it really, really helped me out when things were getting really bad. And if I didn't have this, I don't know what I'd kind of cling on to, but like this is what it was for me. And we got our little like deer camp thing we dedicated to him, and I still like a lot of my hunting gear was his stuff. So, you know, like I throw on a sweatshirt or something, like this sweatshirt was his. And
that's awesome.
a lot of stuff that I have was his. And, you know, every time I go out, you know, I definitely think about him, and it really, like, throughout, you know, all the years, it's helped me a lot. I mean, I carry a lot of anger with me still, and you know, it definitely kind of eases my mind a little bit, as far as that goes, being able to go out and hunt, you know, put, you know, a few hours into a tree stand here and there and just kind of enjoy nature. And one of the things he always talked about, when he would deer hunt, was how you'd be up in the tree and animals would have no idea you were there, and just being able to see them act like how they normally would without, like, the human intrusion aspect to it, you know? Cause if you walked up on a raccoon or any other kind of animal, they would act completely different than if they had no idea you were there. That's something that I always think about when I'm hunting, when I see, you know, like a fox come in or even watching a deer just kind of walking along, you know, it's those things that really kind of, you know, all this kind of like comes into like making it like, I know it's never going to be like all the way better, but, you know, having all those shared experiences with him and hearing his stories and then being able to sit out there and think about it all the time is really a big lift for me. So.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, like, I heard your story on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. And I was like, that dude sounds freaking cool. That story was amazing. Like that story got me fired up. And I was like, I hope someday I meet this dude. And Tonson actually reached out to me because he found our YouTube channel. So it's kind of fun to see how all this, like, this is where YouTube is worth it for me, because you can make connections with people like this. So, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, thanks, Tonson. Bud, you got anything?
As far as what?
Why you hunt, how it helps you with your mentals.
I mean, I hunt just because it's been part of my life, you know, from day one. I went on my first hunt when I was fresh out of the belly. So it's something I grew up doing. My dad always took me out. I mean, we always did the grouse hunting growing up, and we started deer hunting. I finally went out on deer hunts when I was about 10. And I think now I hunt mainly just to get away. I lost my dad. It'd be 16 years ago this month. And looking back, and I think it's something I still haven't accepted yet. You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, but going out there, that's kind of that's what still brings me to them. And I think that's what drives me to keep going.
Yeah. Plus, you got your little guy too coming up. So that's going to be exciting. That's going to be exciting that we got that coming up. And I think that little guy is going to have you chase him all around the woods coming up here pretty quick. Thanks for sharing. So why I hunt? I don't think I could breathe without hunting. It helps me out with my mental health every single day. I went through a low point when I was in college, like, because I quit baseball. That was my life growing up. Like, I love baseball. Yep. I did anything for it. And I didn't have, like, a second option. So I got a little bit of a gambling problem in college. burnt through a little bit more money that I didn't have in college. Didn't have a job or anything like that. So it's not a huge amount of money looking back on it, but in college, when you lose $1,000, $1,500 in like a week.
you're only, as weird as it sounds, your only income in college was your body.
pretty much.
Because all you were doing was donating plasma.
Yeah, donate plasma. I did get out of a work study program where I worked at the cafeteria and got food for free. But I struggled finding that next thing for me. I was in a pretty unhealthy relationship at that time. Thought she was the love of my life and so on. And this was a part of my life. All my life, I never had confidence. Like, besides playing baseball, I didn't have a lick of confidence. I wasn't like the cool kid at school. I wouldn't say I was bullied, but like felt like I was never accepted by the cool kids, as we like to say.
Sound like me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, man, I gotta find something. I gotta find something that gets me going, that gets me busy, as you said, Rob, because like when I'm bored, dumb things happen. Like absolutely dumb things just happen. Or it's just poor choices on my own. So I don't know. This is kind of the point in my life where Bud and I connected, and obviously we're still friends here today. Where ended up working at my parents bought a woodworking shop that Bud's dad originally owned, and me and Bud connected there. And cool, yeah. I was like, holy fuck, I this dude's fucking awesome. Like. I think we started off like our first time fishing together was like catfish on the Fox River. I think, it was actually a pretty good day out there, but then we like, you know, fish more and talked about hunting and whatnot, how we kind of grew up similar of hunting the North Woods. And it started like bringing my confidence up. Like I started like, you know, going on public land hunting on YouTube and whatnot. And it just started like building up this confidence. And hunting helped me figure out who I was. It helped me get confident. Like I know what I'm doing. I have confidence when I go in the woods, and it just helped me have the confidence to ditch the girlfriend. And, you know, I figured out who I was. So like, I guess that's how hunting like affected me, and it gave me the confidence to break up with a girl, be single for 4 years, figure out who I was. And yeah, it kind of, you know, gave me a better, I don't want to say moral compass, but just, I don't know, a better outlook on life. So I guess that's how hunting affected me. So I don't know what I would do without hunting. I
wouldn't be pretty here much right now.
Pretty much everything that you guys said is where I would be, or maybe I'd be a drug dealer or something like that. In like, I don't know, Mexico, be part of the cartel or something like that.
To get
the adrenaline rush.
Be a freaking crackhead, I'm sure, or something.
Who knows? Maybe a stripper or something like that. So no. So I don't know. I figured, why don't we just go off the cuff here in, you know, what hunting does for you on a daily basis. Like for me, I know, I've expressed this to Bud in, I don't know, last 3 months or so, like just my job's been really rough with like COVID. I don't want to bring up COVID, but like just people not showing up and me having to take on tasks I didn't plan on, where it's like, man, this job sucks. I hate going to work. And like the only thing I can look forward to is like tonight, things like tonight where I can chat with buddies and that outside world does not exist. And sending Zeb and Bud and Tonson and me and Rob just talk every once in a while just about like hunting strategy, like sending pins to each other, that sort of thing, talking about dream hunts. So I guess like that's how it helps me day by day just to get to the next one. So is by looking.
You sending me pins while I'm at work, that drives me nuts. It doesn't stop. My phone just like 5 minutes straight, bing, bing, bing. Because the guy will sit here and send me 25 pins for one property.
Buddy Jason does that to me. I love him to death. It's my boy, man. Jason, he hunts with me down here. But he's very camera shy. He's very secretive. He don't show pictures online. Don't do this. All right, I won't. I promise. You know what I mean? But, like, he does the same thing. He'll say, yo, we got to look here. We got to look here. We got to look here. We got to look. All right, well, wait till I get down there. We'll go walk it, you know? I love it, though, man. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how it helps me just on a daily basis to move on to the other one. And, like, even if I have an argument with my girlfriend, like,
yeah.
I can still go hunting the next day or something or whatever. Whatever outdoors. I just want to be outside. I hate being in a box. Like, I hate. So, Rob, what do you look for to a daily basis? Like, how does it help you get through, like, day by day, like, when you're down in the dumps?
Me? I am always thinking about getting what I got to get done, if that makes sense. Like, in a hunting, whole hunting perspective, like, I got to get this done, or I got to get this, I got to walk this woods, I got to check this piece out, I got to do this, I got to do that. But it's not a job. I'm not annoyed by that. You know what I mean? Like, I look forward to it, but then sometimes my mental illness kicks in, and then I lose my motivation to get that done. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's been happening a lot this winter. So I got to kick myself in the ass and start getting gear. But the weather's been bad. I mean, there's 18 inches of snow. I don't scout in the snow like that. I get it, because I doubt very much where I live, both spots, that you're going to find the deer living in bedding in the same spots, you know, next year. I know I kind of have an idea where what they're doing right now this time of year. They're close to food, and you know, and Delaware is so small, it's just obvious. It's just getting in there. But, like, now I want to – I have – guys all seen the 4 or 5 bucks that I want to go after next year, which I know are still alive. And I got a lot of scouting and figuring out to do. I got – we have – I have 20, and I think Jason has 20. So we have 40 cameras to pull in the next 2 weeks. And I'll be going through pictures, and I can't – freaking wait. And me and Eric's had this conversation, like, okay, nothing, thousands of pictures of the sun or wind or a branch, but I dread that, but then I still can't wait to see what's on them cameras.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. I haven't pulled one of mine yet, and I saw $4 tonight still carrying, so yeah. I'm gonna let them soak for a little bit longer here, so
yeah. But they're dropping here, like, big time, man. They started dropping early, I think, because of the snow.
Yeah.
Really, the snow we had 2 weeks ago, the 18 inches. I think that really bad, cold December we had, and it's been the coldest December we had in years. I think it really, really made a lot of these bucks drop, because guys are finding sheds all over now.
Oh, wow.
For the snow and all. So, really, in my opinion, me, you know, guys are different and whatever, but I don't see a reason for a trail camera to be out from, you know, the end of February till, you know, July. I just, yeah. You got a horn, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. I'm going to pull them all. Yeah, I pull mine all, too. Yeah. Just, and I put them in a rice bath so they get all the moisture out of them, just to help that. Exactly. At times, so
I paint them or do something, whatever they got to get done.
Yeah,
figure out which ones are bad.
So, oh yeah, that's a fun part, eh?
I just did a Tasco video earlier today. It should be up. Yeah, it's 8:30. Went up at 7 o'clock, so it's got a couple bucks on. It's on YouTube. I started Rumble too. I'm on Rumble.
Oh, we're on the Rumble train too. So.
I don't know if I'm doing it right, though. I'll have to have a conversation with you, Eric, if I'm doing it right or not. So that's another time. I'm just throwing them up there.
It either. All right, Tonson, you got anything how, like, just outdoors in general helps you day to day, like, to get through to the next day when it's when life sucks?
I mean, you know, like, it's as individual as deer hunting is.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice, like, you know, like, I see the Facebook Messenger thing pop up, and it's, you know, one of you guys is saying something, and, like, that's fun for me every day. But then, like, I got other buddies who I know, like, just through hunting, and, like, it's fun to, like, bounce stuff off of them and just kind of, you know, have little conversations here and there. But, you know, like, the season's over now, obviously. So looking forward to next season is already started. You know, I'm starting to think about, like, you know, what my plans are going to be, or, you know, like, what tags I'm going to buy, stuff like that. So, like, day to day, just, you know, it's just thinking ahead, you know, thinking, moving forward and everything like that. You know, I got some work to do with my dog still, so that keeps me motivated to keep working with him and maybe have him a little bit better next year than he was this year. And, you know, just enjoying it all, you know. And, you know, I clock in 8 o'clock in the morning. I clock out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have, like, I'm able to just turn it off. Like, I don't think about work the rest of the day after I'm done with it. So, you know, I come home and spend time with my family, and, you know, usually I'm, you know, watching a video or you know, looking at maps or texting somebody, you know, something. It's just, it's a part of my daily life now. And, you know, it keeps me happy, you know, definitely, thinking about hunting. And, you know, every day when I'm going to work or coming from work, my spots that I hunted this year are on the way or coming home, and I'll drive by them and just kind of look out and see what's going on, you know, just, you know, see if I can see any deer or anything like that. I mean, just recently I was over at my parents' house, and my brother had dug this goose pit back when he first got into goose hunting, and I was just hanging out back there because I put some trail cameras out there, and you know, there was like 5 deer in the field, so I just sat there and watched them for like an hour just 'cause. So, I mean, it's like the little things like that that hunting brings me that keeps me, you know, happy and kind of on the lighter side of life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Bud, how do you get through the daily life of working the wood? How does hunting help you deal with that?
I would say most likely just looking back on memories. You know, because in my job, if I'm doing a run of trim that's like 40,000 freaking feet, you just got a lot of time to think. You're literally just standing there. But it's like, yeah, just that, even if you get a bad day or something like that, you're down in the dumps, you just start thinking back. It's anytime you're out in the woods, you're hunting or anything like that, it's most of the time, it's a good memory. It's something that's going to pick your spirits up, you know? So it's just looking back on stuff. And that's kind of just what it just gets you motivated again. You know, and I find that too a lot. Like, you know, it's after the grind of the season, it's like, it's hard to get motivated to go back out and do it. But then you look at some good hunts, and that's what picks you back up to want to just go grind at it again. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that a lot. Like you're saying, looking back, and like, for me, part of it's like dreaming too. Like, dreaming for that Iowa hunt that I was able to do, like those dreams are keep me going too. Like looking forward, like freaking looking forward to doing a turkey hunt in Nebraska this year, possibly like going out to North Dakota, and like those dreams keep me going. I mean, like Rob and I talked about, I'd love to go out to West Virginia, Maryland, or something like that. Actually, get a chance to actually meet Rob in person. So, yeah, no,
it's coming.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. And not only that, like, it just people together, like from all different walks of life too. Like, would I ever imagine in my life I'd be talking to this dude from frickin' Delaware, New Jersey, wherever the hell he's from? Over the internet. Like,
The Bronx.
No. Yeah, the Bronx. But seriously, like, it just has brought me to get close to so many different people that I never would have experienced. And I mean, it's taught me quite a few lessons to like look outside your own box, like think about things differently than like what my own mind says. Like, I guess so. Camaraderie is another big part. If anyone wants to speak on that, I'll just hunting
ground. Absolutely,
absolutely. Yeah. Want to take this, bud?
Yeah, I mean that's my biggest part when it comes to hunting and fishing. You know, is the camaraderie.
Yeah.
I mean, because like Eric, I mean, hands down, I mean, and even you, Rob, like how you guys grind it out by yourself, like day in and day out doing it. Man, it's when I'm up here by myself, man, it gets hard for me to get that ambition. It's I find myself like I'll drive out to a spot and there's a guy here. All right, I'll just run home. You know, it's like
I do the same thing, dude. I do it too. It's tough.
But I tell you what though, when me and Eric plan a weekend, when I come down by him or he comes up by me, oh man, sun up to sundown, let's freaking roll, you know. Yeah. I'm sleeping, I curled up in my back seat of my truck because we're camping wherever, and you know, I got 2 hours of sleep, but yeah, I got no problem doing it then. Cause like just having that guy there just pushes me that much better.
Yeah. Me, I'm gonna go a little, maybe a little off or maybe a little deeper where I'm going to explain my scenario. Now my pad, I was a correction officer for 20 years. I'm retired. And I was pounded in the head to hate people. Don't trust. Be skeptical of everybody. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. This group of guys doing this with you guys, just the short time we've been doing it, this helps that so much. And that's a mental illness too. But, like, I'm starting to trust people again, to like the camaraderie. And it goes back to, like, what Bud was saying, like, I don't know how you guys do it by yourself because I am a loner. I do a lot of stuff with my buddy Jason now. And dude, you know what, man? I'm really enjoying it. Enjoying what I'm finding, what I'm learning, our successes, our failures with somebody. And now I got my little cousin. Johnny's really trying to get into hunting. Samantha, she's gone nuts, man. She's killed more than anybody this year, you know, my kid. And you know, it's awesome. I love the camaraderie and I'm learning how to accept people again, you know, if that makes sense, you know, because you know what, man, I hated dudes for a long time, man. I really did. I'd say, who's this idiot texting me or who's this idiot, PMing me? And no offense, I wouldn't know you from Adam, but like, I just didn't trust nobody for years and years. And I, you know what? I still don't until I get to know you a little bit. You know what I mean? But, you know, all this helps. And it goes right back to mental health. It really does, all this. And it really helps me start to trust people again. The YouTube stuff. I'm meeting a guy this Sunday. I'm going to help him out. He might help me. Who knows? And, you know, It's just cool, man. You know, it's just, it's like Eric said earlier, man, I'm talking to guys halfway across the freaking country online doing a podcast. You know what I mean? So it's awesome.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Like, I think I struggle with that too at my job. Like, I'm not a correctional officer, but I work in child abuse, neglect type stuff. And just some of the stuff that we have come in, the sexual abuse allegations, the neglect, all that, it warps your mind a little bit. So this kind of puts me back on track with, you know, just interacting with other somewhat sane humans. So, Tonson, camaraderie, man.
I mean, starting out as a waterfowl hunter, you know, you're usually in a blind with, you know, at least a couple other guys, and you're killing time, and, you know, just, yeah, you know, telling stories and all that kind of, and then afterwards, you know, like, a big part of what we would do was, you know, we'd go hunt, you know, successful or not, we'd end up in someone's barn drinking beers and hanging out, yeah, and having a good time. And,
yeah,
you know, as much as I like being alone, and I really do, like, I enjoy just kind of doing my own thing. You know, I've really tried to get other people involved with this, like, all sorts of different kinds of hunting. And, you know, I started grouse hunting a few years ago, and I knew my dad was into upland hunting, so I invited him out. So that, you know, that was like some good time I get to spend with my dad, is when we go out and just kind of walk the woods in northern Wisconsin. Or I got my sister to start trying some deer hunting, and
that's cool, man.
She's been hunting with me the last couple of years, and she hasn't been able to get anything, but, you know, we've had a good time with it. And my cousin started kind of deer hunting about the same time I did, so, you know, all that is kind of, I really do enjoy that kind of stuff. And, you know, being able to, like Eric, when you came up to my parents' cabin last summer and we went out and walked the property, I could have been out there all day. But, you know, like just, and especially with you guys, like being able to, you know, sit back and kind of listen and learn and you know, be able to ask a question and all that kind of stuff.
And not get judged and trust the answer is I think a lot is very important, where I don't mean to cut you off, Thompson, but like, I think a lot of these guys that get online and you know, they ask them serious questions and they get these asshole answers.
Yeah.
And like he says, man, I gotta, you know, I'm trying to learn. And it's so important where you could trust where you could get your answers from.
Yeah.
You know, well, you can't make fun of or anything, like, oh, you're a dummy, or, you know.
How do you not know that already? Everybody, yeah, you grew up like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference between confidence and arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the way I approach it, like, I don't try to come off as like a dick. Like, I know it all. It's, you know, trying to convey your message without being like, yeah, like you guys said, you guys should know this, whatever. Because not everybody is at the same,
yeah,
step in their hunting life. Like, everybody's at like a different area. So it's like, I don't know,
look at where you were, Eric, what, probably 10 years ago, hunting wise.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you knew was walking out, you know, to a blind in the woods.
That's dude, how I was. I walk out, throw a stand up, and throw a corn pile out. Now I know where to go by looking at a map, pretty much. And I don't mean to cut you off, Eric or Bud, but yeah, now I can figure out, you know what, I bet you them deer are going to be here. And you know what, I might not be in the right tree, but a lot of times the son of a bitch goes behind me. You know, I might not have a shot, but I was right. 10 years ago, I would have said, huh? A point or a bowl? What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? I throw corn down, boy. Get that stand and wait for him.
Right? Yep. Just,
you know, that, yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that hunting if that's the way you want to hunt. That is just where I'm at. I wanted to move from that and learn in my way how to be more efficient, more efficient for older animals. That's the only. There's nothing wrong with baiting. I don't want to put that out there like that. I've done it,
yeah,
but I just want to move on from that. So
something you're talking right there, like, that's what's like really great about hunting is you can do it your own way. You can hunt your own way, but then you can still talk to other people and you know, learn from them and yeah, like, try to progress yourself with it. You know, you might have never thought to do something before. And then, you know, you talk to someone and like, oh, like you think where you could apply that to like your own situation. And I think like that's something I really like about hunting is is I get to go do my own thing. But then again, like, it's something I could, like, you know, talk to Eric or talk to, you know, one of you guys about. And it's, you know, you'll give me an example or give me or something that I can learn from and something I can try. So.
And you know, I don't want to bring this up and I won't say any names, but like, Eric knows this, and I think you guys know too. That's why I'm so disappointed in a certain individual that is a big influencer right now. One of the biggest of what's going on. I'm just so mad at the guy. So disappointed in the guy, and it's just I don't even want to go there. No.
Yeah, we won't go there. We can go into, like, seriously, guys, like, my first time out on my, like, first bow hunt. Like, me and Bud went over how to use a summit climber, I don't know, like, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Freaking first hunt, carrying my first bow hunt, carrying out my summit climber. My goal was just to get 10 feet up a tree and not fall die or get trapped. So, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's where I was bow hunting 10 years ago. So, yeah, that's where I started. So, now like Bud says, I do all... Now, I don't do unsafe stuff, but like I can hang on. That's a big accomplishment. Yeah.
Now you just picked the most sketchy tree for me to go into. you see that 4-inch tree over there? Yeah, go sit in that.
You're testing it for him.
Yeah. That's where I started. Like, besides my gun hunt when I was a kid, bow hunting. That was a whole other animal. And I mean, it was so uncomfortable climbing up a tree because I'm deathly scared of heights, like 10 feet off the ground. Oh my God. I mean, now, you know, I built up my confidence and I trust the equipment that I'm using. And I mean, I can get up 20, 25 feet if need be now and hanging a hang on. It's just
hanging off the tree, hanging stuff. Yeah.
I know. Isn't that freaking crazy?
That is. Like, that's great, man. That's great.
Yeah, it's just, it helps you grow as a person. I think that's another thing that it helps you mentally. Like, I think if I weren't hunting, like, my brain would be shut off. Like, I'd be a moron. Like, it keeps me, like, using my brain.
Keeps you on your toes, man.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah,
I don't know where else to take this podcast. You guys, like, have any comments, like, or thoughts that are coming to your brains?
I had some earlier, but I can't remember.
No,
I actually need to get my head straight. It hasn't been right all year, and I got to get my body. I am fat as hell, boy. I am fat, man. So I got to start working on that. I keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And that is one thing that I really, really need to do is get my weight down. I got to lose about 50 pounds, man. And you know what? That is going to help me tremendously in all aspects of the woods, life, everything, man.
Yeah.
Just think if you feel good every way, you're going to have confidence. You're going to be you're going to be up, elated, whatever you want to call it. It's just better all around.
No, Christ, dude, I was in a mental funk. What was it? Was it 2 years ago, Bud? Just my dad came down to join me, and we were looking forward to this big rutcation, pre-rutcation or whatever. And
year and a half ago. Yeah, it was two seasons ago.
I remember that.
Me and him were kind of just on different pages. Like,
I remember that, Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, our goals are so different. Like, where it really affected, like, my mentals, like, in terms of, like, I grind it so
threw
hard.
Threw you off the rest of the season.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, because am I putting too much into this stuff? I started questioning, like, am I working too hard? Like, am I really enjoying it? Like, so I have, I don't know. I'm a very selfish person. I self-admittedly admit that. Like, and it's like, how hard do you push to where you don't enjoy it? Like, and I'm always on that edge because I push so hard. Like,
I don't think that's a wrong thing, though. I think we're all like that. You know, I think a lot of us are the same way. I think we all want to be successful with everything, but I think that we want to bring everybody with us, or certain people with us, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's selfish at all. I think that's just human nature, man.
Yeah, no, and I me and my dad had a tough discussion, and it was a valuable discussion, because, like, we were, it wasn't the friendliest conversation I've ever had with him. Like, because
especially it's your dad, you know, it's the guy that actually got you into hunting.
Yeah. So it's like, we just hashed out in the woods, and we're like, okay, this is when we can hunt together. Like, when it's fun, like during gun season, like when it's not going freaking a mile deep up a 400 foot bluff, that type of stuff. So it's like, I don't know. I was in a funk. I was in a mental funk, and just the rest of my season was off because of it. It was one of the oddest feelings I've ever had.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Do you want him to do what you want to do? Is that the thing? Like, I catch myself doing that too, and I actually think I put a little too much pressure on Brandon when he was little with hunting because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's a thing. Like, it's just getting to a point, because he's like 60, whatever, and he wants to do it. He really, really wants to do it, but it's just to a point where it's like he can't do certain things anymore.
I got
like
you.
Just the mind's there, but the body's not. So it's like reassessing, like, what's how we can still get away from, like, the people, but still, like, keep his, like, physical, like, being able to do it. So that's part of the reason I bought a John Boat 2 this year, is because that's a way to get away from people where he can, like, still get to a stand location. Like, that's a little bit more challenging. So it's just, So I guess I guess that's a good point, too, because sometimes I just go this way, and I expect everyone to keep up with me. So
with hunting with you, especially down there. Yeah. And you drive to see other people successful at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like somebody comes down by you to hunt with you. I mean, you're driving to have them be more successful than yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you're putting them in the better spot, but at the same time, then when they turn around and don't want to do it, then it's like kicking you in the nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to see other people succeed just as much as me. It's a fine balance for me. It's a balance that I will struggle till the day I can't hunt anymore.
Well, you also, and I don't care if anybody, you know, anybody can disagree, but there is a side that we want to be respected. We want people to listen. Like, yeah, man, you know, Eric Eyes, he talks about deer hunting. You better shut up and listen. You know what I mean? Or Thompson or Bud or even me. Yeah, you better listen to what that guy's saying, because, you know, that guy's killed deer every year, man. So you want that respect too. You know?
Yeah. And I do put pressure on myself to, I want Bud to kill a big freaking buck this year, or just a nice freaking buck.
Yeah.
But you kind of know it. I've been scouting I'm trying to get us in some good locations this year where you have an opportunity. And like, we got pre-ruckation coming up this year. I'm hoping, you know, Rob, you're out way out on the East Coast, but anytime you want to come to Wisconsin and hunt during the rut, come on over.
It might be real soon.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It might be, because probably not this year, but I would love to come the next year in 24, maybe. I would
love to. That would be freaking awesome. Because, like, this goes back to camaraderie. Like, if we, you know, Thompson comes up, Bug comes down, we have a little pre-ruckation.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I just want to see everyone in camp have a good hunt. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You got a lot of scouting to do, brother. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got a shitload of scouting to do, man.
You, Trust me, Rob. We're fine. I know Eric's. I know Eric's Onyx password, so I can go out and see all the pins. There is not a freaking property in southern Wisconsin he hasn't set foot on.
I'm kidding, man. You know that.
Good. Yeah, I'm pretty insane. That's kind of a lot.
It is amazing at how slow a phone can operate when you upload Eric's Onyx, man.
Wow. You mean taking all the memory off of your phone and it gets back to normal, you mean?
Yeah, it's just insane. Like, Eric runs an iPhone, dude. I told him he's got to go to a Droid so he can put like a 500 megabyte freaking SD card in his phone. He needs that memory.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess
256, but I don't even use it.
No, I would like to get into like more mental health side of things, because I know that's a huge passion of your Rob's, and I just figured this podcast would be a great avenue for you to bring up stuff like that. And if you have any time that you want to like take over and like talk about a topic, I mean,
me myself as a mental health thing.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the, if not the biggest problem, especially in this country. And I don't think drugs are the problem. I don't think alcohol is the problem. I don't think whatever else, you know, substance abuse is the problem. The real problem is depression. It's some kind of mental health issue that is putting these people on the drugs. And, you know, you're going to have your certain people that like to party, but the majority of people are doing these drugs, drinking, blah, 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 to escape. Like, we deer hunt to escape, or hunt to escape, or fish to escape.
Exactly.
That is the biggest problem, you know, in my opinion. And I think a lot of stuff is held back information-wise, because I really, really do think that I am not a conspiracy theory guy at all, but I really do think that these health industry medications are pumped into us for a reason. They really are. I really do think they are. And especially the mental health stuff, because there's so much money into it. It's discussed, billions and billions of dollars invested in this kind of stuff. And it's never going to end. And it's so sad, you know. And until they stop making Oxycontins and whatever the hell else, and whatever makes meth, you know, you're going to have it, because people are looking for an escape. I don't care what it is. They're looking for an out, and they're going to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there, man. I've been there. Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't know how my wife and my kids are how I got, excuse me, I'm not an alcoholic or I'm not a drug head. That's how.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And I'm not faking, man. I don't cry much, but when I talk about this shit, it hurts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a big thing. I agree with you. In Youth Justice, I'm working with all the kids that are coming up. Yep. And
it's so hard.
I mean, yeah, yesterday, working with a kid who's taken 4 or 5 medications. And I tell you what, I take those kids out freaking tonight. I call them deer drives, where we're not shining or anything. We're just driving around looking at deer.
Sorry,
guys. Saw 4 freaking big bucks. And
That's awesome, man.
The smile he got on his freaking face, like the kid, he was like, that's freaking awesome. Like, that's what we need more of, like just kids getting out instead of being on the freaking video. I come back to the video games, cell phones, it's all that stuff, and it's a lot of kids are facing so much social pressure from Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram. Like, and I love Instagram. I think it's a fun platform.
Yeah,
whatever.
Too.
but they're getting so much messaging all the freaking time. It's like, even myself, I'm like, holy shit, do I got ADD now? Because I'm always like
trying to sell themselves. And listen, I don't have a problem with making money, but like, when you, and the problem with all this shit is the influencers and all blah blah blah, whatever you want to call them, they're taking advantage of situations and taking most, a lot of them are, they're leaving stuff out so they can keep you and grab you, hold of you, and that's a problem with kids. A kid's mind, they can't decide, they can't figure that out. They're naive to that. So then they're buying stuff, they're doing this, they're doing that, and then they're always on there. My daughter Brianna is on Discord. She's probably on there right now, and it's a problem. But the problem is nobody wants to deal with it. You know what I mean? And then one parent wants to deal with it, but yes, oh, don't say nothing. It'll be okay, and blah 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 blah. And it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be, get the hell outside. Go play war. Go play tag. Go to your friend's house. Blue, blue, blue. Go put the PlayStation away. You know what I mean? And yeah. The problem is the PlayStations, the Xboxes, the cell phones, the TVs, the Netflix, the whatever you want to call it, is being jammed in their throats. It is being almost taught to them that it's a must. It's a must thing that they must do. Snapchat. Instagram, all of them, Facebook. They're all toxic. I don't want to say Instagram, like, look at TikTok. I love TikTok, but like, dude, that is the most unrealistic thing and the biggest look at me thing in the world. It's got to be, you know what I mean? In my opinion. But like, yeah. It's a problem. It's a major problem.
Yeah, I think that would be a great topic. In another episode, we'll just talk about influencers just in general, like, and just, you know,
I've got plenty
us having, well, us having our YouTube channels, I don't want to call us influencers, but I mean, I don't think we're part of the problem, but I think everything has to be done in moderation. As who said that? Everything's okay in moderation, yeah. But it's finding that balance point. Cause even, hey, I'll admit it, sometimes doing the YouTube, I've mentioned to Bud, like, why the hell do I do this? Like, how much of my actual life is being, like, taken away from, like, doing all this editing and stuff like that? It's,
yeah.
That's
hours,
always been a balance.
Hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a whole nother podcast right there. So
it is, and we got to do one. Because I really do think, and I don't want to keep barking up that tree. I really think it's important to know certain details about the big ones, the big influencers, what they're doing and what they're not telling you, what they're telling you. I just, you know, you got one asking for tips now when you buy some. Come on, dude. Really? You're going to ask for tips online when you buy something? You break.
Yeah.
But
no, I think this is a good stopping point at this podcast, but I think it's a good conversation to keep on continuing. So anybody got a would you rather question?
Would you rather go on a complete paid, all-inclusive guided hunt out west, biggest whitetails in the world, or just go to, like, we're all going to do meet up and hang and bang and just hang out with your boys? I think that's a pretty easy answer for us four.
Yeah. I'm going out west for the big bucks. What do you mean? No, I'm just playing with you. No, I dude, hunt camps. I personally, I haven't experienced a hunting camp since I was like 12 years old. It's been something, me and Bud have our little two-man hunt camp, whatever, but to be a part of, like, a group of guys and sharing stories, sharing, like, ideas, sharing what you're seeing, I've been craving for that type of hunt, and I think that's why I mentioned to Bud this year. I'm like, dude, we got to hunt together, like, because we're both driven a little bit more, but like, I mean, I love big bucks. I love getting in my zone, but man, that camaraderie is something super fun. And yeah. I'm all about that.
Yeah. So
and, you can go ahead, Johnson.
All right.
You can go.
So, I part of the whole, when I got back into hunting thing, part of the whole thing that drew me into deer hunting was the deer camp type of situation. Cause, I know my brother and his buddy, they'd go out, you know, Western Illinois and have their deer camp during the gun seasons. And that was kind of their thing. And that was something that really like drew me into it. That was, especially when I first got into deer hunting, that was like one of the things I'd search on YouTube was like, would be like deer camp. And I'd watch all those videos and stuff like that. And, you know, just hearing my brother's buddy tell a lot of the stories about them being out at their deer camp and doing that thing. That's something I really like. I haven't had that. And like, that's something I'm looking forward to at some point. You know, I'm trying to get something going with our family and it's kind of, you know, taking some time, but I think we're going to get there. But being able to like, get out and hunt with some guy, like-minded guys and have a whole, you know, weekend or whatever, that I that would be awesome. So.
Yeah, hands down, I'm going to the deer camp. I mean, that is one of the things I absolutely love. That is something pretty much when I started hunting and I started big game hunting, that's what we did. Everything from, I mean, my trips out west, you want to talk about a fun time? We had a bunkhouse. So it was our group of guys, anywhere from 6 to 8. We had the better camp, so the outfitter always wanted to stay with us. Mm. The ranch that we hunted at, their cowboys would end up coming into our bunkhouse. So, I mean, we literally, like, it was like we have 10 guys just mad. Just, and it's never a dull moment. I mean, it's like you got all these guys that they kind of meet up. So it's like you're not hearing the same stories, like, with your buddy. Like, your buddy forgets that he told you that story, so you hear the same story 4 times. I mean, you're always hearing new stories. And now, think of me. I'm out there when I'm 12, and I'm out there with a bunch of grown men. Just think of the stories that I heard when I was 12.
I'm sure.
You know, I did not have a lot to say, but I tell you what, I learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. Were you allowed to say anything, first off?
Well, of course I was allowed to say something, right. But trust me, all the language and the life lessons that I was learning out there, I was a sponge.
Yeah.
Whether they were the right lessons or the wrong lessons, I don't know what.
They probably busted your bones. Wow.
Oh, you want to talk about busting bones, man.
So
I shot my first deer out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm there with old timers and stuff. They're like, well, he's got to have a shot. Got to have a drink. It's his first deer.
I love old times.
So, you know, so my dad was a little neglected by it, but he's like, all right. Well, one of the guys, they had some peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
He's like, he's like, let him have some, he can have some peppermint schnapps. You know, that's fine. So they gave me a solo cup, filled it up with ice. They put like 3 shots in it. All right. So I'm like, all right. You know, I'm thinking I'm fucking big shit, you know, whatever. So they pour it. Well, I take it. I chugged it. I slammed the fucker. 3 shots of peppermint, you know. And so they're like, they all see me do it. They're like, did you just drink all of that? I'm like, well, isn't that what you do? They're like, you were supposed to sip on that.
Oh, you probably got sick as a dog.
Oh, dude, I lasted. I think I made it about 15 minutes. 15 minutes, and then I was hugging the freaking porcelain queen. I tell you what.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
but I tell you what, they all loved it, man.
Yeah, that's great memories, man. That's what it's about.
Well, exactly, man. That's what it's about. You know, and even nowadays, like, you know, I kind of got out of the deer camp. Like, I was running solo for a while, but now I'm back with. I mean, outside of you guys, like my gun hunting group, you know, with Andy and his brother and stuff, And we don't really have a deer camp where we spend the night, but we got a pole building there. We got a pole building there with a fire pit. And it's like, we still go out hunting. We come back, we have a fire going, and we still sit there for freaking 3 hours, way too long afterwards. And it's like, we just talk. It's like, we just bullshit. And like, that's what it's about, man. That's sitting around a fire.
Talk shit.
Yep.
Talk shit. Yeah, that's stuff I really want to start getting into, you know. Doing a couple a year, like doing a local one, and then maybe coming out with you guys or something, you know, every couple years or something like that. I think that kind of shit helps, man. It helps your mind. Yeah. It helps you meet people. And I just think it gives you a whole, you know, better perspective on other people throughout the country, you know, and we all live lives just almost the same way, man. We're all doing the same thing. We're living.
Yep.
And, you know, just some of us have, you know, the same passions and things that we want to do, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, you know what my answer is. I want to start doing that. So.
Yeah. No. I agree with you. But, yeah, no, I think that was a great Would You Rather, and that's one hell of a way to wrap up the podcast. So thanks for spending an hour bullshitting with me.
No problem.
I love doing this. This is fun, guys. So
sorry about the breakdown, man.
That's how I started it out, talking about my old man. So
yeah. It's a major issue that I really, really want to bring into more into my channel and my stuff somehow, but I just can't think of how to do it.
Yeah. I figure a podcast with a group of guys be a good start. So I would like to do one of these once every month or once every couple months. Just these honestly they're tough podcasts. They really are, because they really hit you where you are at your core. Like it gets in your feels. So
all right, folks, that's going to wrap up this week's podcast. We got in a pretty deep topic with mental health in the outdoors, although I thought it was a pretty beneficial conversation. I know all four of us got something out of the conversation, and our goal is to keep the conversation going. And if you know somebody that is struggling with mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, alcohol, drug abuse, or gambling addictions, get them involved in the outdoors. It's a great therapy where you don't even need to talk to anybody. Nature kind of heals us all, I think. Appreciate you guys listening. Go ahead and check out our YouTube channel, Red Bearded Predators, along with the Buck Psych channel. Both of us are putting out content for new and experienced hunters, and also we're putting out content for experienced hunters as well. So kind of got content all across the board. I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.